This hour we have a very, very special guest on the program with us. She's a fine actress, an amazing singer, and still, she's half the woman she used to be. On the line with us right now is Yvette Freeman, who many know from her role on the television series ER. Hi, Yvette, how are you?
Hey, Peter, I'm fine. How you doing?
Fine. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Glad to be here.
You are a very, very busy lady.
I know. Isn't that great?
At one time, you were actually doing two television shows, weren't you?
You bet, and I was just happy as I could be.
Yeah.
Actor's dream.
Now, so many people know you from the role you play on ER.
Mm-hmm.
As
Halle Adams.
Halle Adams, the nurse.
Halle Adams.
Exactly. The no-nonsense nurse on that show. You've been doing that for quite a while.
Ooh.
And some people would know you from, I guess it was Working?
Uh-huh, Working.
And
Evelyn. I played Evelyn Smalley, the evil manager.
Yeah, and I'm willing to bet that a lot of people who've seen your work aren't aware of the fact that you sing.
You know what? And that's a shame. Yes, I do sing. That's what I started out as, a singer. New York City, Broadway stage, all that kind of stuff. I do jazz.
What did you do on Broadway?
I did Ain't Misbehavin'. I did it more times than Nell Carter.
Really?
Really.
How
I did the First National, and then I did Broadway for a year, and then I went to Palace. And then I toured it throughout Europe, toured it all over this country. And I could still do it right now. The show's so great. I love it.
How did you end up on ER?
With a lot of prayer. I mean, do you want to hear the story?
Sure.
The long one or the short one?
We got time.
Okay. Well, I did a nurse, a couple of nurses in different films, and I guess they saw me and they called me in. And I thought it was just a normal, you know, movie of the week. And I was driving a Pinto at the time. Do you know what a Pinto is?
Oh, yeah. They used to explode, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mine eventually did. But I was happy. I didn't know any difference. I didn't know. And it was blowing smoke out in the parking lot when I had the audition for ER. And I wouldn't take any crap from John Levy, the casting director. He was rushing me through my audition. And that's how I got the job. He was pushing me through the audition, and I told him to stop. I'm not there yet. Give me a minute. And then I was there, and I said, continue. And I, you know, took control of my audition. And then I left because I didn't care. I was worried about getting home in a car that wasn't moving.
Right.
And by the time I got home, I had the job because I was giving them what they wanted. I gave them Nurse Halle.
Well, how much of Yvette Freeman is Nurse Halle?
A lot. Oh, lot. I mean, she's a great character. I mean, she's a great woman. She's a nurse, and God bless nurses. Let me tell you, I know too much now that I don't need to know about being a nurse. But these women and these men are the ones that hold up the hospitals, that keep it going, that help the patients that are there. I can't even tell you how much I appreciate and revere nurses. And I feel blessed to be able to give off whatever that is that nurses say it's okay to give off.
We are talking with actress Yvette Freeman here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800. If you have any questions, 7900991 Star Talk 1-800-491-CJD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hull area, and also the border states. I want to get to singer Yvette Freeman.
Okay.
Because I have the CD in my hand here, and I got to admit, I played it in the car and got goosebumps.
Cool beans.
Oh.
Which one did you play? You played the Dinah.
The Dinah Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, and got goosebumps.
Hey, Dinah's my heart.
This is an amazing album.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give our audience the opportunity to hear what you sound like.
Okay.
And here is a song from the album entitled Yvette Freeman, a tribute to Dinah Washington.
It's easy to lie to strangers.
That's Yvette Freeman, and the song is entitled What Can I Tell My Heart, from her album entitled Yvette Freeman, a tribute to Dinah Washington. And you actually got a, what is it, an Obie Award for playing Dinah Washington?
We did a musical called Dinah Was. We started in L.A., you know, normal little showcase, doing workshops and things like that, and went off to Williamstown and worked it out a little bit more there, and then came back and did a major little all kind of showcase here in L.A., and then moved into New York and opened at the WPA. And then Gene Demanian, who produced Woody Allen, picked our show up and took us up the street to a new theater, a 600-seat theater, and Off-Broadway House. And we played there for, I stayed there 9 months. I think Lilias White took over for me. And then it toured for 2 years, and it's about Dinah Washington, written by Oliver Goldstick, and we just did it for NPR. In fact, you'll be able to hear it as a radio play.
National Public Radio.
And they aired it, I think, about 3 weeks ago here, and then they'll have the tour on something called The Play is the Thing. And it's, and I got an Obie, and, you know, got an Obie Award. It's a beautiful piece, and I want to do it again. I think it should be done in Canada. What do you say?
I think it should be done in Canada, too. I think you should come to Montreal for the Jazz Festival.
Hey, I'm there.
Now, you also work with your husband, right?
Well, he's the one that did all that music that you just heard.
Yeah.
He arranges, he writes, he plays, and I met him through the musical of Dinah Was. And he was my musical director and became my husband.
Excellent. Now, when you recorded this particular album, was it something that you did to singing to tracks, or was it with the musicians in the studio?
Oh, musicians. My husband arranged it. Musicians. He's a musician, and we do jazz around here. He's a piano player. He is the resident arranger and pianist for the Luckman Orchestra here in L.A. It's a jazz orchestra, like the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra in New York.
Given your druthers, what do you prefer? Do you prefer to sing or do you prefer to act?
I think it all helps each other. I want to do it all. It's all part of the same thing. It helps each other, and yet it has its own kind of a muscle. I even write.
What kind of stuff do you write?
I have, three short films. In fact, I'm getting ready to show my short film at AFI. I got into a directing workshop for women at AFI. They choose 8 women a year, and you go through the program, you produce and shoot and write a short film. And, they help you to get on the director's track. So I just did a high-def picture, short about Alzheimer's, a narrative. And I'm showing it at AFI, and I'll do all the festivals, and hopefully I'll get it on TV. It is absolutely sensational and beautiful. I love writing. I love directing. It's just part of the same thing.
We are talking with actress Yvette Freeman, who you may know from the television series ER, and she has an album out. She has 2 albums up, but we're playing one of them called Yvette Freeman, a tribute to Dinah Washington. 7900991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa, Hull area, and also the border states. Those are the numbers to call. Some people, when I've had an opportunity to talk to musical performers, especially in the style that you do, some people always say that I came along too late because the big musicals, they don't do them anymore, especially for film or for television. But now, especially with the win that Chicago had in and the Academy Awards, musicals are hot again.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to perhaps doing something on the big screen, musically speaking?
Yeah. I would like to do Dinah there, and also I'm in this company called the Lahman Engel Workshop out here, and we write musicals, and everybody is so excited, and we do new musicals and workshop them out here, and if I can't be in it, I will write something for a whole bunch of other people to be in.
It's amazing stuff, the album. I'm going to play some more of that a little later on here on CJD. But I want to talk about some other things with you, and that, of course, is your role on ER. You've been on the show since the beginning, and how difficult is it to play a role where there's, quite frankly, so much medical jargon?
Well, we have technical advisors, doctors and nurses on the set at all times, and they make sure you say it right. And if you don't understand, they'll explain it to you. And if you still don't understand and you can't say it right, you say it phonetically. But you better be good and you better be fast, because that's a fast show.
Yeah, because it's very rapid fire.
Ooh. Oh, it gets sometimes in those trauma scenes, you don't know what's up and what's down.
Mm.
You know, but they get so real sometimes, that blood. Oh. Yeah, I think it's still the best show.
Does it become second nature to you?
I better not be, because you can't. I mean, people can see that. They can see that you're walking through it.
Right.
No. And also, I'm a supporting player. I don't know how Noah Wiley does it, okay? I don't know how they just, I learned, a page comparatively to his 80 pages.
Right.
So it's hard, and it is easier because we do know how to dance around the set, but it's still hard work, no matter how you put it.
In addition to the pressure of doing a show like that with so much medical jargon and a packed script, you guys did a live show, too.
You know what? I wasn't in it.
You weren't in it?
No, I was doing working at the time. And let me tell you something, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you. I was scared. My agent said, we'll get you out of working to do it. I said, you know what? That's okay. That's all right. They can do it. They can have it. And I worked at working during the day, and then I sat in and watched my fellow actors on ER work. They were fabulous. They were great. That scared me. And I know it's going to come back at me one of these days. I know I'm going to have to do that. But I thought they were fantastic. Oh, to do this show and to do it live? Wow.
The show still has legs. It's on every Thursday on NBC. And how much longer do you think it can go?
About 4 more years. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good. I mean, it's still doing good. I mean, the thing is that everybody's looking for the next new thing. Well, that next new thing hasn't come along and stuck. And ER still has its audience. Now, ER has to evolve with its audience. That's the key. It's to keep it fresh and also to keep it still ER. And, it's a juggling act. And I think they're doing good. I would ask for a little bit more to do personally. but I'm not going to argue. I have a good gig, and I do other things. My own films. I sing with my husband. I write, I direct on the side, so I'm a pretty happy camper. But I could take another little bit more work as an actress.
I want to play another cut from the album because, as I said, this album is amazing. And tell us about the other album you have, too.
Well, I thought she had sent out a copy just to you. I haven't released it yet.
Yeah.
I'll be releasing it in about another month.
Okay.
And you'll get the first. I thought she had sent you one.
Well, we did. It's just that the CD is in, I guess it's a production CD, so there isn't a sleeve to it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so it's in master control right now. That's why I don't have it in my hand. But we're
Who I have on it?
I'm sorry?
I have Boney James on it. On the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I want to play something from the Tribute to Donna Washington album. This one is a song called Don't Touch Me.
It's no fun here by myself. Don't touch me. Don't, sweetheart. I don't wanna hear your lies. Stop acting. You're a devil in disguise. Don't touch me.
My poor heart is growing wise. Don't you touch me. We talked of romance and the good things in life, and all that you gave me was misery and strife. Still I hope and pray there's a chance that you'll care. I'm the one and only, but I won't be your spare. You kissed me and made chills run down my spine. I love you and you left me here behind. Don't touch me till your heart's made up its mind. Don't you touch me.
Montreal's News Talk leader, CJD, at 100, the album entitled A Tribute to Dinah Washington, and we are talking with Yvette Freeman on the line right now, 7900991, star talk, 1-800-491, the numbers to call. One of the things that's given you a lot of ink lately is the fact that, there's 117 pounds of you that's no longer around.
Hey, it's gone. It's been gone, and may it stay gone. Yes. I went through a program called the Risk Factor Obesity Program at UCLA, and it worked, and it's still working. I will be on the program for life.
Uh-huh.
And you want to hear about it?
Yes. What exactly does the program entail?
Well, what I did was I did the most extreme part of it. It's a medically supervised fast. You don't have to go that extreme, but I did. When I get a hold of something, I hold on to it and do it. And you have doctors, and you have therapy, and you have nutritional guidance. And that's the key, is having the therapy classes and the nutritional classes, because then you understand how to maintain your weight. You understand your triggers, why you overeat. I didn't even realize I had a problem. until I got there and I went, oh, I was 257 pounds. And somehow you have a problem.
And 5 foot five, we should mention, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've always been large my whole life, and I have, and I've been successful being large. But it came down to I wanted to live. I wanted, you know, I had high blood pressure. I was on my way to becoming a diabetic. And all that is gone because I lost this weight. And maintaining. I've been maintaining since July, the 4th of last year. And I have been just eating normally, like 1,400 calories a day. But I exercise and I write down everything. So I know exactly what I put in my mouth. And I weigh myself every morning and put that in the book. So, you know, I keep track. And I'm staying conscious and connected to what I need to keep myself this way and healthy.
We are talking with Yvette Freeman here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800. She is one of the actresses on the television series ER. She also has an album out, several albums out, a couple of albums out, one of them entitled Yvette Freeman, A Tribute to Dinah Washington. And we're going to hear from one of her other albums on the other side of the news and take some of your calls as well. 7900-991-STAR-TALK, 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800.
Hi, Malik here. I don't like my uncle's radio show. I love my uncle's radio show. You're listening to Holder Overnight with Peter Anthony Holder. It's intoxicating fun. Say no to drugs. Say yes to Peter. Okay, Unc, do your stuff.
Thanks, Malik. 7900-991-STAR-TALK, 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. We are talking to actress and singer Yvette Freeman here on CJD from the television series ER. Was there any concerns when you decided that this is what you wanted to do, that it might in any way, shape, or form jeopardize your career?
You know what? No. For me, no. I wanted to be healthy, so that's what kept me, you know, doing what I'm doing. But there has been some kind of, there have been some changes. you know, I've been put up for a couple of roles that they look at me when I walk into the room and go, that's not the actress we wanted. They wanted the big woman. And they're comfortable with that big woman. So I'm having an adjustment period going on here. But it's about my health, and it's about what makes me happy.
It just so happens that last night on NBC, I believe it was a repeat, if I'm not mistaken, of the first episode you were, where the smaller, newer Yvette was on.
Yeah.
Last, it was last night's episode that they aired that. What was the reaction from fans when they saw you? I guess it initially aired for the first time on October 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reaction that
well,
you got?
Well, put it this way. My website, it stopped. It got clogged with all kinds of letters. I have done so many interviews. People want to know how, why. It's the most amazing thing. I've gotten more press. It's amazing that so many people are dealing with this problem. And when they see someone successful, they want to know how and what's the trick. There's no trick. It's hard work no matter what you do, you know. But it shocked them.
How has it affected, the weight loss affected your singing?
Ooh, my voice kind of went down for a minute. It's not that it went down. I was using my girth to belt, and I'm not placing my sound right. So I went to Cedar Sinai here has a voice therapy clinic, and I went over there and had them check me out. And they gave me some therapy and showed me some things that I needed to take care of, and my voice is back.
You mentioned the fact that you did Amos Behaving, and then you've now lost the weight, and of course, just recently, we lost Nell Carter.
I know.
Do you ever think, there before the grace of God go I?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm. And, you know, if you start getting to that age, you know, things can happen. And not saying that they won't, but at least I'm giving myself a fighting chance. And I do feel great. I've got more energy than I've ever had. I'm doing things that I never even thought I could do because I never I liked my size. I've been successful with my size. I don't know. You know, everybody changes themselves every 7 years. I guess this is my change. I just know that you need to be healthy. Whatever size you are, you need to be healthy. And if your girth is impeding your messing up your health, then you better deal with it. And you better be truthful to yourself. Because that's the only one's going to be able to handle it is you.
You told us how you did this. What is your regime now to maintain it?
Well, I count calories. I literally weigh and measure my food. I'm getting a little bit better. I can start to eyeball it. But when I feel like I'm going off, I go back to being very strict with myself. I live on 1,400 to 1,500 calories a day. And also, I can go off. Normal eating is you eat under or more than your maintenance calories. I mean, that's normal. But how I keep myself normal is to be plugged in and to realize that, last week I had about, 3,500 more calories than I needed. So this week, let's try not to do that. You know, so I balance it. I can see it. And I know that 3,500 calories equals a pound lost or gained. So, you know, I didn't know this. No matter how you put it, 3,500 extra calories will put a pound on you. You know, or take it off.
Right.
So I watch.
Did you have to give up anything that you liked, or was it just a matter of moderation?
Moderation. There you go. Because if you give everything up, you won't succeed. You know, you can't live in a straight jacket for the rest of your life. You can't. Because you go crazy. I go crazy because I use food for all kinds of reasons, comfort, anger, name it. You know, and I still haven't changed those instincts. But now when I really want to go off or I feel like I need to go off, I find the watermelon, which is like 5 calories an ounce. I like watermelon. You know, so you make changes, and you also are aware of when you're going to, you know, when you're getting ready to head for the food. You do a beeline elsewhere, or you go exercise, you go punch that, you know, the bag, or, you know, you run, you know, you learn.
Now, when you were starting to do this, did you tell the producers of ER, or did you just go and do it and, you know, surprise, guys, here's what's happening?
You know what? I told, you know, no one. Now, my costumers knew, because I was losing weight for a whole year on ER. If you look at the show, you will see the weight go down. And they just, you know, come on, those costumes are bags. And so my costumers knew, and they just gave me some pins. And when I came back that summer, it was the party. I went to, John Wells always has this big party to welcome everybody back in the summertime. And here I show up looking cute down. And they all looked at me, and then they realized that the last scene of the last show, which was like in March of March, I was like 20 pounds, 30 pounds heavier. I couldn't have lost that much weight within the framework of the show.
Right.
So they told me, we're going to write you out. So that was fine. So they wrote me out for that one show, and then they brought me back in on that show you saw last night. And then I've just been coming, you know, doing my due, and they've given me a couple of good shows this year. In fact, the 200 show, which we were shooting right now. In fact, I worked finished today. They're still shooting, probably until about 3 a.m. this morning. And I'm all over the place, so it's a good show for me. Just like 200 shows. How many shows can say that they're shooting 200 shows?
Exactly. That's a long time, especially in episodic one-hour formats.
Yep, amazing.
Tell us a little bit, because I want to play some of it right now. Tell us a little bit about this other album that you have put together.
Well, it's all new songs. Most of them are written by Michael Wells. And it's about love. R&B, I've been picking out. I pick out the songs, and I even try to write one or two, but they didn't make it on the album. And it's friends. They're friends doing it. So I like listening to R&B, and I like doing jazz, and, you know, this is my R&B.
How do you go about choosing the music that you do choose?
Well, I'm an adult, and I want adult love. Now, you know, so I'm not looking for the man I'm trying to keep it, or I'm, when I'm looking for them, it's a different kind of feel to it. I don't know. You tell me.
Well, we're going to play a cut from the album. This is a song called Out on the Town.
Oh, Out on the Town. Okay.
This is Yvette Freeman here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. Freeman here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. And the name of the album, Yvette, is?
Love.
Simple enough. Love. That is a pretty good album. I heard most of it. I heard most of it because we had a bit of a problem with the CD. I can't hear the first cuts. I don't know what that's like.
You know what? I will send you the first one. Okay?
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you for playing. I was like, oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
On the radio.
It's great. It's great stuff. Now, what are your hopes for this album?
What are my hopes?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want it played. And then I'll probably do a little touring.
When you perform live, especially in the L.A. area, do you have the do you get the support from that large ER cast? Do they come and see you sing live?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They, you know, they're really great. They're really supportive people. It's really great. I got to, you know, you can tell relationships. You can see what's going on the from the TV audience can see how we deal with each other. You can feel it. And they're some good people. You know, they're not normal actors. They're like character actors, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a difference. You know, they're not stars. You know, even when George Clooney was there, he wasn't a star with us. He's, you know, they're just good people.
What's it like when you work in a series like that for a long period of time, especially as it climbs in the ratings and stays at the top for quite some time, and people start to leave? With each defection, do you start to think, oh, this is the beginning of the end? Is it like losing a family member?
It's like losing a member of the family, but it's losing a member of the family to go on to do something else. First off, to do this show, it's hard. It takes a lot of time, a lot of energy for the principals. For me, I get to do other things because I only work so many days out of the week with the show. And then these people do other things. Eric LaSalle directs and writes and acts. So he's off doing his thing. You know, he's evolving. And you go, hey, you know, now we have Makai. We have Makai and Sharif. Oh, I love them. I love them. Wait till you see the 200th show. Makai. So, I mean, they evolve and they make room for other people to come through. And I, you know, it's a blast. And most shows don't make it this long for people to evolve and to move off and go off. And when they go off, the show continues because the show is about the ER, you know, and people can relate to that, you know, so.
You do it all. You sing. You act. If you were to chart the course of your career for the next couple of years, what is the ideal role? Or is there anything you haven't done that you'd like to do?
I want to direct. I mean, besides me directing my projects, I want one of my screenplays to make it. And I want to make work for other people. I don't have to be out front. I have no problem being a supporting member of anything. But I like to create things. And I think there's room for it. I think my voice is needed as a black woman in this business. And I think there's room. And there's stories that I need to tell, and I can't wait for someone to, or me, because it's not about, you know, I'm saying that wrong. It's not about waiting for somebody to do it, because I produce my own pieces. I take out of my pocket, and I pay for my high-def movie, and I pay my crews, and I do them through SAG, because all my actor friends who are in my films, I can't do anything, you know, without doing it union, because I can't even use myself. So I do it the right way, you know, and I feel blessed to have something like ER that supports all my other things.
How difficult is it to find decent roles for black women?
Oh, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started. And you know what? And I can't wait for somebody else to write it because maybe they don't know. You know, then, you know, maybe they don't see us. But, you know, look at the choices that we've here, Angela Bassett, who are not used, these wonderful actors. Your Alfred Water, when's the last time you've seen her? I mean, these people are fantastic actresses that need their day. You see Hallie, and then they'll have, you know, you had Whoopi for a while, and now you have Queen Latifah. You know what? There's room for more than just one person at a time. And the stories, maybe we should do them. We should write them. I mean, you can't wait for them to do it. Or them, whoever that them is.
Well, Queen Latifah seems to be going the right route, at least in finding projects that she is producing herself.
As a smart woman.
Is that the way to go?
Yes. That's exactly the way to go. Push it yourself, because if they can't think of it, you think of it. Or you find people to think of it. You know, you find those roles that you want to play. Like I found Dinah. You know, I have others. Can't wait for anybody to give you anything.
Dinah was a labor of love, wasn't it?
Total labor of love.
You delved into that. I guess, to use an analogy, you mentioned Halle Berry. I guess it was that was your Dorothy Dandridge.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, Dinah was my idea. I came from New York to L.A., And I found a writer. At the time, I didn't trust my writing. I needed a writer. But I have a whole bunch of input in this, my concept. So I brought this project to this to Oliver Goldstick. And then we and I took my little bit of money from ER to start producing it. And then I backed off when I got the queen of producers, Gene Demanian. Woo. You know? So you got to do it. I couldn't expect anybody to do that for me. They don't see me like that. I had to show them. I'm still showing.
Have you always been a go-getter? I know you come from a large family.
Well, you know what? I was on Broadway doing Ain't Misbehavin'. I thought I was a star. This is when Nell was out in L.A. doing it out here and becoming a star on TV. But I thought I was a star. I went to Paris, you know, with the Ain't Misbehavin', and I stayed over there for a year, you know, being a star. I came back to New York, and nobody knew who the hell I was. I said, okay, I get it. You have to keep the energy up for yourself. You have to find the work for yourself. I hadn't laid the groundwork. I just became a star. So, no more. Let me be a working actor, you know? Let me work. Just produce the stuff.
Well, you've done it consistently for several years on ER and guest appearances in other shows. At one time, two series at the same time. Now you have two albums at the same time. You are doing it all. It's been a pleasure to have you on the program and talk to you about your career. I'm sure there's a lot more we're going to hear from you. And congratulations on the weight loss, too.
And thank you. And thank you very much for having me on your show, Peter.
My pleasure. And I guess from a woman's point of view, because a woman are always going to want to hear... From what dress size to what dress size, brother?
Size 24 to a size 8.
Wow.
Just as cute as I want to be.
That's amazing.
Oh, I love buying my clothes now. Don't tell me, I'm not going to say, well, I don't know your audience, but put it this way, I love the underwear.
And I'm sure your husband's happy, too.
Oh, he is just as happy as he can be. But you know something, let me tell you something. That man loved me big, and he loved me small. So I was blessed right there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Which proves once again that you did it for all the right reasons. You were doing it for somebody else.
That's right.
You were doing it for you.
For me.
I thank you very much for being on the program with us.
And I thank you.